It is Chat with a Cat, and it's right here on KPAY Sports 1290 in Chico. Thrilled to have joined us here on this Thursday, as we always talk in our Chat with a Cat segment, with an influential Chico State Wildcat from the present or the past. And right now, we're speaking with a influential Wildcat from the past. In fact, a bronze medalist in the Paralympic Games, and we are thrilled to have her with us. Kim Crosby from the Chico State track and field team, formerly of the track and field team, and now preparing for the Paralympic trials June 17th to the 19th in Minneapolis. She joins us. She won a bronze medal in the 100 meters at the Rio Olympics in 2016, and we are just thrilled to have her with us on this Thursday. Kim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We are thrilled to have you. Now, in preparation for the interview, I was excited to learn that you had a big race coming up on Saturday. You have two races lined up, the Paralympic trials on June 17th to the 19th in Minneapolis, and you had a race that was planned for Saturday, but you've had to kind of back off that race. Before we get into your career and what made Chico State a great place to come to, I want to address that, because it was kind of a big race in your preparation for the Paralympic trials. You were supposed to race this weekend, but you're not going to. What happened?
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be racing this weekend. A couple weeks ago, we had a little bit of a hiccup, and I have a low-grade hamstring strain at the moment. So we just want to rehab that and make sure that I'm really good to go for trials.
Absolutely. And it sounds like the wise decision. We were talking off air, and I said, it sounds to me precautionary, pull out of race so you're 100% for the trials. And you were saying, you got it. Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. So we wish you luck in your rehab on that.
Thank you.
First of all, let's get into a little bit about you. You grew up in Marysville and in the Yuba City area. And just to let people know, fill them in. You are half Jamaican. You were born with albinism. Is that how it's pronounced? Albinism.
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 Yeah.
And explain that a little bit, and some of the challenges that you have faced in your quest to become such a renowned racer. I mean, you win a bronze medal in the Paralympics in Rio. You're the real deal, Kim. But talk about the challenge. Talk about the challenges you faced.
Yeah. So first, I want to explain what albinism is. Albinism is, I have no pigment in my hair, skin, and eyes, and because I don't have any pigment in my eyes, it leaves me being visually impaired. I'm legally blind, and so, I mean, I've always loved sports, thanks to my brother, so I grew up just trying every single sport, and having a visual impairment made it a little bit difficult to find the right sport for me. I tried basketball, I tried volleyball, and even tennis. And honestly, they all didn't work out because they involved a ball. The ball usually found my face before I found it.
Yes.
So that was definitely one of the biggest challenges. And then when track was introduced to me, I was like, oh my gosh, this is my calling. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And ever since I tried it, it's been history. I love track, and I don't know what I would be doing without it.
You know, I guess the story goes that your brother saw you in a PE class and suggested track to you. Explain that story a little bit.
Yeah, so, of course, in PE, I was a freshman in high school, and in PE, we have to run the mile. So that day, my brother was also a senior in high school, and so he didn't have much to do. He came out to the track, and he's like, oh, I'm going to watch you in the small. So I was like, okay. I thought it was kind of weird, but I was like, okay. So I ran the mile, and I ran it pretty fast, I guess. I had no idea. And my brother and also my PE teacher, they both came up to me, and they suggested, like, why don't you go out for the track team? And at first I was like, no, I don't think that's for me. And honestly, I had no idea what track was. I had never even heard of track and field. But then when track season came around, I was like, okay, you know, I'll go out there and see what it's like. And so I was training with the team for a couple of months, and then I was thinking that track wasn't for me. I didn't really fit in with anybody. Everybody, you know, already knew each other. So I told my parents that I was going to quit, and they're like, before you quit, go to your first meet and see how it goes. And then you can see if you want to quit after that. So that's what I did, and I ended up going to my first meet and winning my 100-meter race. And I was blown away with how fast that I was. My parents were, and also my coach at the time, was so blown away by how fast I was. And then I was like, okay, maybe I can be good at this. And so I stuck with it, and it's taking me to great places.
Incredible. I don't know if I want to do this. And then you win your first 100-meter race.
Yeah.
maybe if I'm really good at this. And was it something that, in terms of your love of track, and remember, and you just said, I didn't really know much about it. I didn't feel like I kind of fit in. But the more you did it, was it a kind of a love affair with track that kind of grew on you? Or was it that first taste of competition where you blew the competition out of the water? Was it like, man, I really like this. I think this is great. How did that come about? Because when you compete at the level that you're at, Kim, you can't just do it and you're like, oh, I'm good at it, but it's not something I have a passion for. To be great at something, you have to have a passion for it. So talk about the progression of that passion for track and field.
Yeah, and honestly, it was a mix of things. I've always loved sports, so I just love being competitive. And so it was, you know, seeing how I could be competitive out there on the track. But also, I fell in love with it because being visually impaired, it was something that I could do without needing any help from anybody else. So I just felt so free being able to run as fast as I could. And the thought of, like, on the track, I forget that I'm visually impaired. I forget that, you know, I need help to get around to go anywhere else. So it feels like I'm practically flying out there. And it's become a great passion of mine. And you have to have that passion in order to get to a higher place. So it's definitely something I love, and I has grown on me more and more as the years have gone on.
Through your high school performance, Chico State took notice. And I'm going to ask you if there were other schools that took notice, but Chico State took notice, and you earned a scholarship on the women's track team at Chico State. You were part of the program for three seasons. Talk about, first of all, having a great high school career and then getting that interest at the next level. Was that something that was that a desire of yours? Was that something you wanted? And when it finally came to fruition, how did it feel?
It's not something that I had thought about. It was my high school two points in my head. He said, are you going to compete in college? And, you know, I mean, I knew I did well in high school, but I didn't think that I was good enough to be competing at the college level. And then after he had planted that seed in my head, then the notices started coming into the mail where other colleges and even the military was interested in me running for them. And I was drawn to Chico, not because they offered me a scholarship, but because when I went out there to do my official visit, it felt like such a family to me. And I love that so much, that everybody was there for each other and cheered each other on. And at the end of every meet, came together to recognize everybody's performances. And I loved it so much, and that reminded me of my high school team. And I said, I told myself that if I was going to go anywhere to compete, I want it to be like the family that I have in high school. And that's exactly what I went to in Chico.
It's amazing. You're telling a story. We've spoken with so many influential track and field athletes during this Chat with a Cat segment, and it is almost verbatim the story that is told from every track and field athlete. I mean, I asked the question, I didn't know the answer, but I knew it was going to say, I bet she's going to say it felt like a family when she was here and when she visited. It's it's really something amazing that they have built track and field coaches and that environment and that climate that has been built. How invigorating, how gratifying was it when you were finally here? It probably was just as you imagined, so much fun. And we've talked about how nobody travels like the Chico State track and field family to root on their track and field athletes. Because once you join the Chico State track and field family, you're not out of the family. You're in the family. You can get in, but you can never leave. And so, talk about that and how the close knit feel of track and field at Chico State.
Yeah, and when I first got on the team, of course, I was very nervous. Mm-hmm. But it didn't last very long. All of my teammates, you know, they took all of us in, you know, all of us who were new to the team, they took us in and they made us feel a part of the family. And you're right by saying that, like, once you're in the family, you're in there for life. And just talking to Oliver again recently, you know, it goes to show that he still cares about not only the team that he's coaching right now, but the alumni who were a part of the team before. And I'm so grateful to have been a part of the team and have experienced that, because I don't think that I could get any other family like my Chico family. That's for sure.
We're speaking with Kim Crosby. She is a former Chico State track and field athlete. She is also a medalist at the 2016 Rio Olympics and the Paralympics. She won a bronze in the 100 meters. She finished fourth in the 400 meters. And she has a great story for us coming up and how she found out how she finished third in the 100 meters at the Rio Olympics. And that is what we call a tease, Kim, because we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Kim Crosby. We are just thrilled to talk with her today about, one, her Chico State career, and now her quest for more hardware at the Paralympic trials coming up June 17th to the 19th, and a possible trip to the next Paralympics. You're listening to Chat with a Cat, and it is right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
The Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger is back at Carl's Jr. The 100% Angus beef, topped with steak seasoning, lets you know it's premium. The dripping A1 sauce lets you know it's delicious. My elusive whisper lets you know it's decadent. Go eat the Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger, part of the Angus Burger lineup at Carl's Jr. Feed your happy.
Available for limited time at participating Carl's Jr. restaurants. Price of participation may vary. A1 is a registered trademark of Kraft Foods.
We welcome you back to Chat with a Cat. It's right here on KPAY Sports 1290. We're speaking with former Chico State track and field athlete and medalist at the 2016 Rio Olympics and the Paralympics. Won a bronze medal in the 100 meters. Kim Crosby joining us on this Thursday afternoon. You know, I in reading about your collegiate career, you were part of the program for three seasons, and then you received an invitation from Team USA's Paralympic team in 2015. Now, the 3 years you competed, did you forego a year of eligibility? Did you not compete 1 year? And how did that work when you got the invitation?
Yeah, I decided to forego a year of eligibility. When I was approached by the director of Paratrack and Field, it was a hard decision to make to be able to leave and come and train full-time in Southern California. Like I said, hard decision. I didn't want to make it, but I knew it was a decision that I needed to make for my career. It definitely shocked me that I got that invitation by the director, and I didn't know at the time what the Paralympics was. And so when she reached out, she actually reached out to Oliver, our coach, and he then told me about the email and what she does and all about the Paralympics. So then we got connected, and she told me that your time in the 400 would have medaled in London 2012 Paralympic Games.
Wow.
So that immediately got me fired up. I'm like, okay, where do I sign up? How do I do this? Tell me the process of how I get on the team right now.
I bet. And so you forego your final year. I mean, we hear that in other sports. We hear, oh, one and done in college basketball. I don't hear it much. And we spoke with Scott Bowes, and he was ready to turn pro and had to kind of leave early and earlier than he thought he was going to. But and you do the same thing. Now, I imagine the experience was amazing. But how was it different? Because this is a much different animal when you're talking about competing for your country on a national level, being one of the best in the world at an event. So you make that decision to leave. Talk about that decision and then kind of the upheaval. I mean, you're picking everything up and moving. Am I right?
Yeah. I did move everything to Southern California, and it was a decision I didn't think that I would make. And once I got down to Southern California, it became a reality. Like, whoa, what did I just do? Like, everything that I knew and everyone that I loved, I just left back at home. But I also knew in my heart that it was the right decision for me. Going from training with the Chico team and being in school, you know, those being my jobs, then coming to Southern California, and now training is my full-time job. It's a whole different beast, and it's literally a full-time job, and we're out here almost from 9 to 5, 6 days a week. And my current coach tells me you have to be a 24-hour athlete. When you're not out on the track training, you are feeling your body for what you need to do. You are doing what's necessary to recover and everything. So it was definitely a big transition, that's for sure.
I would imagine so. And so you join a Team USA Paralympic team and the training regimen in 2015. Training mm-hmm. for, did you talk about the qualifying for the 2016 Paralympic Games? Was that a tough experience for you? How did that go? Was it a near miss, or did you have it in the bag, Kim? I mean, how did that work? And then the whole experience of Rio. Fill us in on that.
Yeah. So at the Paralympic trials for Rio, I went into it, I mean, feeling pretty good, but also knowing that anything could happen. Everybody was there for the same goal, and we're all competing against each other to make the team. I was just trying to keep myself focused, not thinking too much into one side or the other. Am I going to make it or am I not? So I went and did my 100 meters to qualify, and I ended up doing way better than I thought I would. I ended up tying my personal best time at trials, and I knew that was, I had pushed my ticket to Rio there, and I was very happy about it, but I also knew we are all competing against each other, like I said. So until I hear my name getting called, I am not going to celebrate. And that next morning, I had named it called, and it was a big sigh of relief. It was such an exciting moment that you just want to be happy. You want to cry. It's all the emotions run over you. That's for sure. And then going to my Rio experience, oh my gosh, I wouldn't trade that experience for anything else. After we go through team processing and we get all of our gear before going to Rio, I was thinking, how is Rio going to top this? This is really awesome. Like, I get to wear this USA across my chest. And this is just for me. And then I get to Rio, and I'm experiencing the village and being around all the other countries and athletes who are all dedicated as well. And it's so awesome to see. And then going into my 100 meters, that was a whole other experience in itself.
What were the nerves like? So you just take us through it a little bit. You're preparing for the 100 meter Olympic race, and I imagine your nerves are, I mean, you're probably nervous in your first high school race. You were probably nervous in your first college race. And I would imagine you can times that by 50 or 100 before the tension before this 100-meter Paralympic race.
Yes, definitely. You hit the nail on the head. 50 times more nervous. I was shaking in the call room and just trying to calm myself down and tell myself that you are just going to run this race like any other race, but you're going to do it way faster.
Of course.
So I ran the semifinals of the 100. And I did pretty well. I got second in my heat. And then the next heat goes, and there was a girl from Ukraine who beat the world record. Mm. And that's when the negative thoughts started to come in. Oh, my gosh, she just beat the world record. How am I going to even do this? So I started doubting myself. And my final was the next day. Going into my final, I just, while warming up, I tried to focus on what I needed to execute and just focusing on myself. I'm not going to pay attention to my competition, what happened the day before, because anything can happen. And I get on the line, get in the blocks, and I had a fantastic start. And at this point, I had an out-of-body experience because I honestly, I don't remember, like, what happened. I just heard the gun, and I took off. And I crossed the finish line, but I'm at the end of the race, and I'm trying to look around, getting confirmation from somebody to see what happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to squint at the scoreboard, and I can't see anything, and nobody telling me anything. So I just start to walk off the track, and as I'm walking off the track, one of the camera guys told me congratulations, and I said to him, by any chance, do you know what place I got? And he said, you got third place. And I said, wait, really? And at the same time as he's telling me that I got the bronze medal, one of our team leaders is yelling behind me, Kim, do you want a flag?
Oh, my
gosh. And that's when it all settled in. And I honestly, telling the story, I still get emotional about it because being able to get the flag and parade around, making my country proud, is a dream I've always had. And, oh, my gosh. It was such an amazing experience.
Chronologically, your storytelling abilities, Kim, are amazing because riveting the out-of-body experience for athletes. When you say something like that, it reminds me of athletes being kind of in a zone. They get in a zone. They feel like they're floating a little bit. They feel like they're kind of in another dimension. You said you got out of the blocks. Great. The gun went, and you said you just took off. But I got to imagine there's got to be like, my goodness, the race is over and you're that search of, can someone please tell me, because I'm visually impaired, can someone please tell me where I finished? Mm-hmm. That moment there of just hanging on that, there's got to be some frustration there with, like, just if there's just one moment I could just see this board, it would be now. I just want to see it. And, but that had to be an amazing moment, though, when they tell you finished third and then your coach is like, do you want a flag? When they say you mm-hmm. want a flag, you knew then that something great had happened, right?
Yes, exactly. I definitely knew at that moment. And walking off the track with the flag and being able, you know, and at that point, when you walk off the track, you're going underneath the stadium and when the press is there. And then the press is, like, surrounding you and asking you a whole bunch of questions. And I don't even know what questions they asked me. I was just still in shock and excitement about what just happened.
I bet. Well, we have one more segment with Kim. We're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the preparation for these Paralympic trials, which are coming up June 17th through the 19th in Minneapolis. Kim also has a motto that she lives by. We want to hear that motto. And maybe when she explains the motto a little bit, maybe I can go out and maybe I can run kind of fast. That's the joke for the day, Kim, because I'm not going to be able to run that fast. And then you have done some coaching as part of the Challenged Athletes Foundation. We want to hear a little bit about that. And, of course, we want to know how to follow your progress and social media. I understand you make sure your fans can keep up on social media, and we'll let greater Chico community, if they're not doing so already, follow along on how you're doing through social media and your pursuit of a medal in the 2021 Paralympics. Getting there and then hopefully getting a medal. We take a quick break. We come back. We'll talk more with former Chico State track and field athlete Kim Crosby as Chat with a Cat continues right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
The Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger is back at Carl's Jr. The 100% Angus beef, topped with steak seasoning, lets you know it's premium. The dripping A1 sauce lets you know it's delicious. My elusive whisper lets you know it's decadent. Go eat the Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger, part of the Angus Burger lineup at Carl's Jr. Feed your happy.
Available for limited time at participating Carl's Jr. restaurants. Price of participation may vary. A1 is a registered trademark of Kraft Foods.
Back here on Chat with a Cat with former Chico State track and field athlete Kim Crosby. And it's brought to you by Carl's Jr., proud sponsor of Chat with a Cat right here on KPAY Sports 1290. You have a motto. Explain the motto and what it means to you.
My motto is limited sight, limitless dreams, and it means exactly what it says. So I was born visually impaired, but I never let it stop me. Like I said before, I tried so many different sports, not just in sports, but I tried so many things in life, but I never let the thought of, I'm visually impaired, will I be able to do this? I never let that stop me. I always try something, and if I couldn't do it, I would modify it so I could do it. Or if I couldn't modify it enough, then I just move on to the next thing. I have never, ever in my life let my visual impairment stop me from following the dreams that I want to achieve.
Fantastic advice. And I would imagine that there are moments like every athlete, and I imagine you're no different. Every athlete has these moments where, one, self-doubt, two, confidence might be lacking. Boy, I had a rough day of training, or my time is not what it, my body's not feeling the way it needs to feel. I mean, all of those things you're going through just like all athletes, you're going through those the same as everyone else.
Yeah, definitely. Going through all of that, and plus, you know, those hurdles as an athlete, plus the hurdles of being visually impaired and having to modify things for me. Just learn how to get through that. You know, comes with some stubbornness to get through it, but
I'm sure it helps to be stubborn. When you're a high level athlete like yourself, I would imagine it does help to be a little bit hard headed and stubborn in terms of what you need to have happen for you to put yourself in the best situation.
Definitely.
Talk a little bit about the Paralympics and what it, you know, for those people out there that may not know exactly what it is.
Paralympics are parallel to the Olympics. So we go and we will train and compete at the same exact venues. We're in the same exact village and everything that the Olympians are in. We train alongside the Olympians when we're training in Southern California. So the Paralympics are the same thing as the Olympics, except, like you said, the Paralympics are with athletes who have a physical disability. And we're all divided up into different classifications based on our level of impairment. So we want to be divided up so we can have an even playing field. So I will compete against girls who have around the same visual acuity as I do.
Mm-hmm. And if there's a visual acuity that might be not as much of an impairment that you do, is there another level to the Paralympics?
So there's three classifications for visual impairment, and I'm in the classification that is the highest of, like, I can see the most out of the visual impairment classes, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So then there's two other classes that are below me who have worse vision than I do.
Got it. So there are three classifications in that entire classification. Mm-hmm. And so you're all training, everyone's training at the same center, everyone's training right next to one another.
Yep.
Wow. Is there a correspondence or is there a camaraderie with all the athletes who are in this? And the training regimens are the same. I would imagine the training regimen for you running the 100 meters and everyone else running the 100 meters, you're kind of all in that grouping.
Yeah. We all definitely understand each other and what each other are going through. And so there is definitely a camaraderie down at the track. We do all have different coaches down there. So we have different training groups and times sometimes, but for the most part, it's all the same. So, I mean, we definitely help each other out while we're down there. And it's like, oh, hey, try doing this to help you get out of the blocks faster or something like that.
How difficult was the delay based with the coronavirus pandemic? I mean, you're prepping, you're preparing, you're getting ready, and then everything's put on hold.
Honestly, to me, well, at first it was a little bit difficult. It took a little while to see in what was actually going on in the world. And it was a little bit hard because we were just getting into our hard training and we were seeing great results, and to have to shut that all down, regroup and pick from that. It took a little while for us to see in, but once we figured out what we were going to do, came up with a game plan, I am really grateful for what happened. In 2019, at the end of 2019, I actually had an injury with the bones in my feet. And I was just planning on all of 2020 running with this injury and just bearing through the pain. But since the coronavirus happened, having this time allowed my feet to heal and for me to get in the adequate training that I need to get in to prepare me to where I can go, where I want to be in Tokyo.
So was it when you saw it, and you probably saw physical therapists, doctors, they were saying, yeah, you're going to need to lay off. You're going to need to not run for a good, 3 to 6 months, or I don't know what they prescribed. But when they say something like that, and you know you can't, then this happens. It kind of feels like, well, I know this is bad for the you know, bad for the world right now, and we're going through a real tough time. But, boy, in terms of how this is going to benefit me athletically, I'm going to get this time now to rest my feet and rest these bones and make sure they're fully healed when I can really ramp up. And that had to be, in such a down time for everyone, you had to feel, I caught a little bit of a break.
Yeah, definitely. And you said it perfectly, that it was a blessing in disguise, basically. So I enjoyed my time off, and the doctors did tell me that I am going to need, 3 to 6 months or so in order for them to heal, and that's exactly what I got. And I have come back stronger and way better than I was coming into 2020. I'm in a better place now, and I'm so happy about that.
We're speaking with Kim Crosby, former Chico State track and field athlete. She is a medalist in the 2016 Rio Olympics in the Paralympic Games. She won a bronze in the 100 meters, finished fourth in the 400 meters. I'm dying to know how close you were to meddling in the 400 meters. Was it close? Was it how did that race go? You talked about the 100 meters. How did the 400 meters go?
The 400 meters in itself is a different beast.
Mm-hmm.
I was really nervous and basically sleep deprived going into the final for the 400. And, I just went out there and did what I could. It wasn't necessarily too close getting fourth place in the 400, but I still ended up getting a PR, which I was happy with in that. And so by getting fourth place, honestly, it gave me more drive. I just came back and I'm like, I so desperately want to get onto the podium for not only the 100, but the 400 as well.
We're talking with Kim Crosby, as we mentioned. Let's go over some of her world championship experience. Most recently in 2019, a silver in the world championships in the 100 meters, a bronze in the 200 meters, seventh in the 400 meters. You have participated in 2015, 2017, and 2019. And in your career, you have had 6 medals at the world championships, 2 silvers in the 100 meters in the 2019 and in the 200 meters in 2015. And 4 bronze medals in 2015, the 100 meters, in 2017, in the 100 and 200 meters, and in 2019, in the 200 meters. How helpful is it to have a spouse who's also a Paralympian, track and field teammate? Eric Hightower is your significant other. How important is that in terms of training, the discipline, and coming home after a day of training, and you guys can kind of bounce stuff off one another?
Yeah, it's super helpful. I love how we can understand each other and know what we are going through. And the biggest plus about it is that we get to travel together, both doing what we love and seeing the world. And I love cheering for him, and I know that he loves cheering for me, and just having him there all the time and being able to experience this it's amazing. I love it, and I'm so blessed to have him there all the time with me.
Your coaching is part of the Challenged Athletes Foundation. What is that foundation, is coaching something that maybe in the future, when you finally hang them up, and we don't want you to hang them up anytime soon, but every athlete has that knock on the door one day, like, it's time. How is coaching, how have you taken to it?
I love coaching, and coaching is something that I knew I always wanted to do. Since I started college at Chico, I knew that I wanted to be a coach, and at what level I wasn't sure yet, but this opportunity just almost fell in my lap for me to coach with Challenge Athletes Foundation, and I'm so happy to be with them, and I love the athletes so much, and my favorite part is to see them progress and how happy they get when they realize that they've made a big jump or even the small jumps, and that's what makes me happy because I know that I know the feeling very well.
Absolutely, and you can kind of help them through, I mean, as you talked about the outset of our interview, you know, sometimes the doubts come in, sometimes like, do I really want to do this? And mm-hmm. Those are things you can probably help a lot of these athletes with. Just to wrap up, you have social media handles and you have ways that people can follow your progress. For those that aren't doing it already and they want to follow your progress, they want to follow, you know, I would imagine you put little snippets of yourself getting ready to train or training and or to and from these competitions in your social media. How can people follow you?
Yeah, the main way to follow me, I keep up to date with my Instagram, Kimbo14, KYMBO14 is the biggest one. For those who aren't on Instagram, I'm also on Facebook. Just type in Kim Crosby. And I'm there. And like you said, I always try to update what I'm doing in terms of traveling, competing, training. And also you get to see my dogs as well.
Yes. Talk about them. I know you've a special soft spot in your heart for them. They're your training buddies. Talk about them.
Yeah. I have a retired guide dog, Keystone. He went all through my Chico years with me. And my current guide dog, Tron, and they are both the best, and my life would not be the same without them, that's for sure.
I would imagine so. Kim, it has been amazing. I've just absolutely loved our conversation today, and it's great learning more about you and going through these great stories about how you've persevered through some challenges, and you've not only come up standing tall, but you've medaled as well, and it's fantastic to hear. And first of all, I'm going to wish you continued health and then continued success. Continued success, and best of luck. We'll be following closely June 17th through the 19th, the Paralympic Trials in Minneapolis, as Kim tries to bring medals home for the United States, as she tries to medal once again in the Olympics, this time in Tokyo in 2021. Kim, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.